Hello and welcome to the Irish NFL Show. My name is Shane Brennan and thank you very much for joining us on what is a traditional bank holiday Monday for us Super Bowl fans. Many people obviously getting into work very tired this morning after realizing that it really is Patrick Mahomes' world and we are all just living in it. The Chiefs coming away victorious in Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas. Joining me to discuss what happened last night is Noel Dowling from the Irish Bears Show. Noel, are you still on a high after watching Super Bowl, or are you already switched into 2024 season mode? It's a weird kind of transitional phase for fans of 31 of the 32 teams.
Yeah, no, I think, as you said, this is like the bank holiday to us NFL fans. And for me, today is one of those days where it's a bit of a dark day. You've seen the last bit of football for a little while, you know, and you're kind of transitioning out now to no football. Well, obviously, as a Bears fan, there's a lot going on in terms of the number one pick. So I'm kind of diving pretty much straight into draft mode now. And Caleb Williams, to be or not to be with Williams, you know, that kind of way. So, yeah, it's always something to keep going.
Yeah, I think one of the big conversation points around Caleb Williams is the fact that he's seen as the next Pat Mahomes. But we're still very much living in the era of the current Pat Mahomes, who I was previewing stuff over the weekend where it seemed like that the 49ers were the more complete unit, the more complete team against the Chiefs, who were very much a one-man juggernaut with a quarterback who just does not know how to quit. And I think that his particular steel and his unwillingness to die and the fact that he just did not know when he was beaten was very important in how the Chiefs managed to get over that. I think one of the big plays of the night was in overtime when they gave the ball to Pacheco and he got stopped. So it ended up being 4th-and-1. 49ers get the stop. They win the Super Bowl, but Mahomes wasn't going to trust anybody else, took the ball himself, moves out to the right and ends up getting, I think, running for about 10 yards. And it's just, display on a night where neither offense really lit up, where the special teams were probably the most important factor and both defenses were very strong. I think it really shows the importance of having a good, strong franchise quarterback to win in these moments, even against teams which on paper are probably better than you are.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it played out in the way I thought it was going to play out. For me, when I looked at that 49ers roster, I thought there's just so much attacking power there. You know, good defense, but on offense, they really have some great pieces. But on the opposite side, obviously you've got Kelce there. But for me, it was Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. I think when you have those two, you have that kind of a tandem of an absolutely Hall of Fame head coach and, you know, potentially Hall of Fame quarterback. He's probably already written his name in for there. You know, there's just something special they can do when they get together. And you said it, like, he is an absolute winner. He just doesn't know when to stop. And he will make plays when they need to be made. I mean, it wasn't the greatest offensive performance, especially for the first four quarters. You know, it was a bit hit and miss. There was a lot, kind of a few good bits and a few bad bits. But he keeps going. They keep in the game. As you say, every now and then he makes a run just to kind of keep that offense moving along. And when you've got a quarterback like him and a head coach like Andy Reid, I think you always have a chance in that game, especially when the 49ers didn't take their chances to kind of open up that lead a bit. You kind of knew when they left the Chiefs hanging around, you know, that can only be bad in the long run for them.
Yeah, it's just, I think one of the big criticisms is the fact that only the 49ers were clinical enough when they had the ball. We saw in the first quarter at the Niners, they were much stronger in terms of how they were passing. They managed to get a few first downs on the way in, but the ball slipped up and they let a turnover go early on in the game. And I know the Chiefs did the same thing later on, but I think from the Niners' point of view, it was quite clear that they needed to find a way to put the Chiefs on ice, to battle them down early enough. And in fairness to Brock Purdy, he didn't make any mistakes. There weren't any interceptions or anything like that. The play design was strong. Christian McCaffrey's use was, had a nice sense of diversity about how the 49ers attacked the game. But just in terms of mentality, I'll touch on it a little bit later on as we discuss the overtime period. But I just think that I'm not quite sure how prepared mentally the 49ers were for the challenge that is playing against the Chiefs. Because Steve Spagnuolo and the defense were very well prepared, managed to get a lot of good stops. You know, they came up with a lot of this great play design, which you saw, of course, at the first touchdown with the pass across and the second pass over to Christian McCaffrey that ended up going in to the end zone. Brilliantly designed play, which is Kyle Shanahan basically saying, you know, if Andy Reid can save his best design plays for the playoffs, so can I as well. that was a nice statement early on in the game. But there was a lot of things that I think that the Niners just, I think, well, I don't feel like they were properly prepared for the challenge that was facing Kansas City. And all Kansas City needed was a stroke of good fortune to get back in the game. And we saw that with the punt to end up being recovered inside the red zone by the Chiefs inside in the middle of the third quarter. That was the break they needed. It seemed inevitable that something like that was going to start unraveling the 49ers, Jared, because as much as they held the Chiefs off at bay, they didn't do enough to get enough of a gap. There wasn't never really a two-score gap. It was a one-score game all throughout. They needed to find a way to build up a two-score gap to make sure that even if the Chiefs did get a stroke of good fortune, that they still had control of the game. And the 49ers just didn't do that.
No, they didn't. You're absolutely right. And as you say, look, it's some of these games come down to the smallest mistakes. I think the 49ers can legitimately look at this game in a way as a missed opportunity. You mentioned, obviously, the punt that they muff, and then the Chiefs get it back and Scanlon scores. Then, obviously, they miss an extra point. You don't know how that maybe affects it going forward, because, obviously, we go to overtime as a tie. So that's something they could look back at. I mean, I thought the 49ers offense looked well at times. They started really well until, unfortunately, for McCaffrey, he had that fumble and that kind of slows them down there. But you're right, they just never done enough to really give themselves a cushion where they could feel a little bit secure. And as you say, when you have Patrick Mahomes and Kelce and that Chiefs team coming at you, like, you're playing with fire if you don't take chances when you can get them. And if you're going to make those mistakes like the punt and the missed extra point, well then, unfortunately, you know, you're going to find yourself in trouble. I mean, you mentioned Purdy. I thought Purdy was fine. You know, nothing stands out for me with Purdy. There was a nice play in overtime with a pass to McCaffrey, which got, I think, a few yards. But other than that, like, nothing stands out to me as good or bad. He just, you know, he was under a bit of pressure. He done his job, and he wasn't the reason they lost it. But he wasn't the reason they won it either. He didn't kind of take them on his back like a Pat Mahomes can do and kind of push that team over the line. And it'll be interesting to see where the 49ers go from here now. You know, they have some good players there, but is this the kind of defeat that can kind of break a team? Or, you know, you only get that small kind of window anyway. But yeah, I think 49ers fans can look at this game and think, do you know what? I think we probably could have taken this, but we just let it slip.
Yeah, I think one that got away is definitely a phrase that could be used about the 49ers in this contest. And the reason I want to focus on their level of preparation is the fact that the talk afterwards was that in the locker room, a lot of the reporters went in and started asking guys about the overtime. And it seems like a lot of the guys didn't actually know what the process was for postseason overtime. I mean, we saw the overtime ended up going to, I think, only 3 or 4 seconds before it finished, which in the olden days would have meant, oh, overtime is finished. Niners win because, you know, once you finish your overtime, that's the final score. But of course, in the way it is now, you start a new game. It's effectively like ending your first quarter, going into the second quarter. And I think there was a sense of confusion as to why Kansas City weren't using timeouts, because they were expecting timeouts to be used for Kansas City stopping the clock. That may have had a knock-on effect on their defense. I think I'm not quite sure whether they fully anticipated as to what was the right thing to do in it when they had the ball, in terms of reducing the amount of time that Patrick Mahomes had to go back and score. And even just in terms of their defensive game planning when it came to overtime, I just think that the Chiefs actually knew what overtime rules were. And I don't know what it is. And look, it's a long offseason. The post-mortem in San Francisco is going to last for the next 6 months, if not even longer. There has to be a lot of question marks in there as to whether some of these basic elements of the game weren't properly discussed, weren't properly prepared for. That enough, like, if players don't know the rules of overtime for the Super Bowl, you know, what, how was it never talked about in the dressing room as to how we're going to try and manage the Chiefs, who have shown a remarkable mentality all postseason when they got to overtime? It's like going into the World Cup final against Argentina or France and never preparing for extra time or penalties, or not even knowing whether it's golden goal or silver goal or anything like that. It's that level of, to me, it struck me as very odd that there were 49ers players who didn't know about the rules. And as a team, if there's any sense of chaos or any sense of confusion, and you're playing against an Andy Reid offense with Patrick Mahomes with ball in hand, who knows what he's doing. He's running things as a field general on there. He is confident. He has drive. And he has a plan in his head. And you're the defense, and you're still not 100% sure what is actually going on, even with the rules of the game, let alone trying to plan out for what the Chiefs are going to throw at you. You're not playing with a full deck of cards. And I think that you know, people in San Francisco are going to try and dig into this more, I imagine, over the offseason. But that's going to be a big question mark as to how Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers coaching staff prepare their defense.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think you're spot on. I mean, when I heard that today, that a number of players were saying that they basically weren't sure of what the OT rules were, and there was a bit of confusion on that. Questions have to be asked. I mean, in what kind of preparation was going into it? Because you say you're playing the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, you know, these guys have been there. They won it last year. This is multiple ones they've won over the last handful of years. You know, actually, no matter who you're playing, you're in the Super Bowl. You need to be on top of it. Every single detail, every I dotted and T crossed, you need to know exactly what you're doing going in there. Because as you know, overtime isn't that regular in the Super Bowl, but still it's something that can happen. So you need to be ready for it when it comes. So to know that a number of players just kind of found themselves a bit bamboozled by what was going on with the rules. I mean, I think there can be legitimate questions in San Francisco of, like, why was this allowed to happen? And as you say, did this somehow play in to the way that the game was called, or the way that things kind of were managed then during overtime? You know, did it kind of seep in, and were there issues? And you said to yourself, Dale, you know, it's a big game to lose. They'll absolutely forensically go over this from top to bottom, you know, reporters, fans, and you probably haven't heard the last of why these players didn't know exactly what was happening rule wise when they absolutely should know everything going into this.
Yeah, and I just, if we contrast the game tying drive by the Chiefs in the fourth quarter versus the game winning drive in overtime, and the way the 49ers defended each drive, I think you can see quite a clear difference. I mean, when Patrick Mahomes is given the ball inside 2 minutes in the fourth quarter, gets a touchdown and wins the Super Bowl, there's nobody in the league you trust more to run that. But the 49ers managed to find a way to hold him that he needed to go for a field goal. They managed to break up the passes. And look, and that's including the fact that Mahomes used Kelce well, got him twice, ran on his feet well. I think we have somebody commenting there that Mahomes was the Kansas City's leading rusher, which showed how much he needed to improvise, and he did in both of those drives, doing so quite well in the fourth quarter. One or two plays in particular where the entire offense went left and he managed to take off on the right-hand side. But the Niners' defense still managed to keep composure, find your way, read what was going on. They didn't get it perfect, but then it was a typical bend but don't break. You look at what happened in overtime. When the game winning score, you know, you see the defender coming over with the receiver looking at Mahomes, not fully being able to read what's going on. All of a sudden, there's somebody with an acre of space in the end zone, and you imagine a part of that is, A, the Chiefs were bringing a level of speed, but also I'm not quite sure the 49ers were expecting that, because they were probably expecting some form of timeout, which would have given them a chance to reset. But of course, if they fully knew that the time on the clock doesn't matter, because it's effectively like playing at the end of the first quarter, they might have just been more mentally prepared for the speed of the Chiefs were going on. So, look, I just think that is a question that the 49ers need to ask themselves, and also that the Chiefs should take praise for how they managed to run that speed, run that offense. And Patrick Mahomes himself is somebody who could run the offense by himself. He is, I don't want to say he's like the offensive coordinator on the field, because that sounds too much like Aaron Rodgers at the Jets, and that's a very different situation altogether. But, you know, the ability to do things with speed and do things at the end of the game was the key difference.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, as you say, he's been in this position before. He didn't have the greatest game as a whole. You know, the first four quarters maybe didn't go the way they wanted. Their center needs to sort out a snap, and he was putting them under a bit of pressure. And then we had the interception. So it wasn't Mahomes' greatest game in those first four quarters. But in that overtime, you know, he really took that by the scruff of the neck and drove it up the field. The winning touchdown you're talking about, I think it was a great play call by Kansas. I think they had the wide receiver go in motion, which kind of left a kind of a gap over there, and they fully exploited it. But yeah, look, if you said it, if you want a quarterback to drive you down in overtime to win the Super Bowl, I think Patrick Mahomes is that guy now. He's just phenomenal. As you said earlier, he's just a winner. And I think this Chiefs team will only get stronger as they go forward, considering people thought this might be a down year. And around Christmas time, we all thought, these aren't looking the best. Maybe they're not going to do it. But it just shows you what kind of team they are. And, you know, all of that goes through him. Now, they have a good defense. Don't get me wrong. It's, they play their part.
Oh, man.
But with that franchise quarterback, I mean...
Yeah. I mean, whatever about Patrick Mahomes, Steve Spagnuolo should be given the freedom of Kansas City. The game plan that like, he's the reason why they managed to get past the Ravens and win that Super Bowl as well. I thought both sides' defense was pretty good, but Spags, just the way that he brought that plan against a very stacked team in the 49ers, I thought was truly excellent. And you have to really give kudos. Like, whatever, you look back at the last two Super Bowls that the Chiefs won, and you can point to strong offense, the fact that they scored 21 points in the fourth quarter against the 49ers the last time out, just a varied and good offense that brought the Chiefs throughout the playoffs last year. This year, it's very much the defense that has managed to get things going. And look, kudos to them. I want to move on to a little bit. We were talking a little bit about Andy Reid and how fantastic a play caller and play designer is. I think somebody who wasn't very happy with him at some point was Travis Kelce. Is one of the biggest talking points of him getting up to 65-year-old Andy Reid. And I guess showing his passion would be the nice way to show to say it. Having a bit of a tantrum is the unnice way to say it. I guess the real truth is somewhere in the middle. But I mean, what do you make of that? Because whenever you see Andy Reid, and you always assume or at least think that he's a very good relationship with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce being the two sort of core members of that offense for years. I mean, Travis Kelce has been around longer than Mahomes. He's been around the Chiefs for a long time. I think Andy Reid drafted him, as he also drafted Jason Kelce. I mean, he's about to have a good relationship there, and that's happening in front of 200 million people in 193 countries across the world, that he's just having a bit of a tantrum because the ball isn't being thrown in his direction. It's just bizarre from somebody who should be one of the more mature members of the team. You'd expect that from a rookie who thinks that he's, you know, he's hot shit. You don't expect that from a tight end who is as experienced as Travis Kelce.
No, absolutely not. And first off, look, there's no excuse to be doing that. You don't go and lay your hands on a coach or anyone else, you know, because of the game, the way it's going. But I think a lot of it was frustration, because I do think that Chiefs offense never really got going early on in the game. It was all, you know, sports here and there. You know, we had that great pass by Mahomes, you know, just before the Pacheco fumble that kind of moved him down a bit. But it was all kind of disjointed a bit, and it wasn't really clicking. And I think maybe they could feel that on the field. Maybe they could feel it wasn't going their way. The Niners defense was doing well up against the Chiefs. They were defending really well, and they were controlling them to a point. And I think maybe it was just a bit of frustration. It's you know, probably we're better than this. This isn't who we are. We can do more than this. This is the Super Bowl. You know, we need to kind of get on top of it. But look, it can't come out that way. Everyone has bad games or bad times or bad plays. You know, you can't be running around doing that. But maybe a lot of it is just down to this, the Super Bowl. We're really pushing here, and it's just not clicking for whatever reason. And then I know Tony Romo was speculating what it may have been. He was taken out when he thought he should be in, or, you know, that as well. But at the end of the day, can't do it. You know, I don't care how things are going. You just can't do it. And it's something, I don't know. Well, I would say maybe he's embarrassed about it today, but he's probably not, because he's a Super Bowl winner and he's probably still celebrating. So, you know, I think they win the game, you can put it behind you and move on. As you say, Andy Reid, Kelce, you know, Mahomes, they've worked together for a long time. It appears from outside that they are a close-knit group there. They work together well. They win Super Bowls, and that's the proof in the pudding. So I think it's probably just, look, we won the Super Bowl, let's move on. But, you know, maybe not do it again.
Yeah, it's just, I was listening to somebody talk about it on the radio earlier on, where they pretty much said that if the Chiefs had lost this game, which it looked like certainly they were going to do in the first quarter, or probably the first half, that would be a much bigger talking point. Because throughout the season, the Chiefs players seem to have let their tempers flare more. Certainly more than we've seen from the Chiefs previously. But even if we compare it to other, I guess, dynastic streaks, if you go back to the Steelers, 49ers, Cowboys, Patriots, and Patriots again, all these groups of players, they never really seem to lose their cool in the way that the Chiefs players have on numerous occasions this season. Not only Travis Kelce, we saw players fight amongst themselves against the Bengals on New Year's Eve, the way that Mahomes lost it at his offensive line in that loss against the Raiders on Christmas Day. And look, I know I'm effectively rehashing stuff from the Super Bowl preview, but I just think that, you know, if they want to try and continue some form of success going into next season, and the fact that their home form really took a dip in the regular season, they need to find some sort of zen, some sort of calm, some sort of composure, because it's quite clear that they play very well in that high energy environment. We saw that with Patrick Mahomes when it's just getting things done now. Let's think, let's act, let's be fast, let's improvise, let's, you know, put a bit of gist into this and just keep rolling forward as quick as possible and try to make things happen as quick as we can. But throughout the course of the season, I think that if they can't get their tempers under control when things go wrong, it does threaten underneath to unravel things a little bit. So I don't know, again, I'm probably looking ahead a little bit now, but I don't know whether that's one thing, if you're a fan of an AFC West team, if that's one thing you're hoping on, that could end up knocking the Chiefs back a little bit next season. Because, you know, as much as they've won the Super Bowl, it's been their, objectively speaking, their worst Super Bowl team. And that leaves them in a position somewhat similar to when Manchester United won the league last, and then it was their worst squad, but they still ended up winning the league, and they had a big dip in form next season. That, I think, if they let their tempers get to them and they don't deal with adversity well, that could unravel their season very quickly if they don't manage to find some way to compartmentalize that.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, I mean, we've kind of said here, they're Super Bowl champions, so, you know, you can't take that away from them now. They've won it again. But as you say, it's not the best Super Bowl team that they've had. They had a few struggles this season during the year. Maybe they're not used to that because, you know, they're used to winning. They have high standards for themselves. And maybe at times when things haven't been going the way they'd hoped, and they're not kind of used to that over the last few years, that maybe it's just a bit of a shock for them that they're, I don't know, again, you would hope it would be handled better if that is the case. But look, as we say, at the end of the day, it was a tougher year for them. It's the first time Mahomes had to actually play away from home in the playoffs. That's because they'd lost more games than they would normally lose. So maybe a few things didn't go the way they wanted, and that kind of didn't go down well with them. But look, at the end of the day, they show why they're winners, because at the end of the day, they're Super Bowl champions again. They go away to the Ravens and they win, and they beat the 49ers, and they kind of show that, you know, when you have the franchise quarterback, when you have a top player like Kelce, you have a good defense, and Spags, you mentioned earlier, had just a really good season. Some of his packages that he was putting out there and some of the blitz packages he was running, he is definitely one of the best defensive coordinators. And then you top that off with Andy Reid, who is certainly challenging Belichick now for, you know, the best coach of the last number of years. Obviously, Belichick still has 6 Super Bowls and he'll be the number one. But Andy Reid is closing that gap, and you wouldn't bet against this Chiefs team continuing over the next few years to kind of push that. So maybe it's just, to an extent, an off year, if you can have an off year when you win the Super Bowl, and things just didn't go the way. But I think this Chiefs team next year will be stronger. I think they will make some moves. I think this is a good year in the draft for wide receivers. You could find they may double dip in there with a wide receiver or two, and I think they will get better. But look, if that is the case, God help the rest of us, because if they can win it when they're not at their best, you know.
Jeez, I mean, if you're winning the Super Bowl in a bad year, whatever about winning, you know, in all Ireland on the bad year when there's only 4 or 5 teams that can win it, when you're winning the Super Bowl in your bad year, that's just an incredible achievement. And look, as much as we try to analyze and release or try to see what could change into the future and talk about, I think, the changes within the Chiefs organization this year and their mentality, you cannot take down the fact that they just do not know when they are beaten. Patrick Mahomes in particular, I think, embodies that spirit. And that is the difference between, you know, stylish players who can do nice things and you know, build up highlight reels, you know, a la Tua Tagovailoa, and champions. And it is just that real steel, that mentality. I mean, even after the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes has mentioned the fact that he's annoyed that Tom Brady beat him a few years ago. You've just won the Super Bowl and you're still giving out that you lost one? Like, it's remarkable how these people, I mean, look at Michael Jordan, of course, always being that kind of standard bearer in terms of finding ways to take things personally, always finding the motivation because you're proving people wrong, because you feel like you have been wronged in some way. And I think that I wrote it in the piece over the weekend that how the Chiefs reacted after losing against the Bills in the regular season when Mahomes went off, you know, it was the worst call I ever seen, was part of that, was part of building a feeling of injustice and moving forward. So look, kudos to them. Before we let you go, I think I'm going to move focus onto the 49ers. And look, I think it was the special team Super Bowl. I think that must be said. We saw the longest field goal in Super Bowl history being kicked by 49ers kicker Jake Moody, and then Harrison Booker break that record a quarter later, which is fantastic stuff. But of course, one of the big talking points, the big changing points in that game was the fact that the point after touchdown attempt, which was blocked, which gave the Chiefs the opportunity to kick that field goal, which took it to overtime. When you look at things like that, and just in general about how the 49ers attacked this game, do you think that there was really, do you have any large criticisms in the game plan that Kyle Shanahan put out?
No, looking back at it today, I think the 49ers looked okay on offense. They just didn't finish when the Chiefs defense kind of was in a bit of a bend, don't break, you know. But the 49ers moved the ball well at times. McCaffrey had a good game. As you say, Purdy did okay. He didn't do anything wrong. He had a good, solid game, and, you know, he kind of helped move the team forward a bit. So, I mean, they kind of got away from the run for a little bit during the later in the game. But, like, again, in overtime, they went back to that. So, you know, that's not it. I think they can just feel like this one just got away a little bit. They were just a bit unlucky. That punt, that muff punt is a killer. That's the game for me. Like, if they don't do that, then, you know, Scantlin doesn't score, then it's a different game. Like, and I think that's the killer. I think they did enough to probably win it in regular time, but they didn't. They made those little mistakes, those just mental errors that you cannot do against a team like the Chiefs. And I think that's why it will hurt the 49ers. We talked about potentially, you know, players not knowing certain rules and stuff and the preparation there. But at the end of the day, they had their chances. And when you lose a game because, you know, a punt hits one of your player's foot, you know, and kind of goes the wrong way, and the Chiefs get it and score, and you miss an extra point, it's tough. Like, and it's they're the kind of games that can break these teams. It'll be interesting to see now how the 49ers come back next year, because I think they're about 3-4 million over the cap next year. They've some big, big salaries coming up. So it'll be interesting if they, what way they can they rework them, or what can that be done? I think they're lucky poor. He's only earning like a million or two. So
$890,000 yeah, he's on? Not even a million.
You have that buffer for the moment that your quarterback's not taking up that cap. But yeah, I think last night they can feel unlucky, you know, that they were, I don't have any major negatives against what they did. But unfortunately for them, they just had those mental errors that were too much to overcome them, and when the Chiefs absolutely capitalized.
Yeah, well, look, it was a fantastic Super Bowl. It was always close, which we always like, even if the offensive show wasn't the best in the world. Noel, thank you very much for taking the time out to join us. And we are now looking ahead. The 2024 season has officially begun. The draft is coming up. The American Football League is coming up. And of course, I'm doing my research because the Dynasty TV series is coming out, and I'm the Patriots fan. I'm very excited, but also unsure as to what to expect, because apparently Rupert Murdoch is on the list of guests coming over that.
Yeah, no, actually, I was only talking about that with someone last night. I'm not a Patriots fan, but I still think it'll be something that'll be a really interesting watch. So I'm looking forward to seeing that myself now. But I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, look, to everybody who's tuning into us now and has listened to all of the stuff that we've done, either two of us who have been stuck in the Carlo general area, or the guys who have gone out to Las Vegas, thank you very much for being a part of what the Irish NFL show has done over the last while. We very much appreciate everybody. We hope everybody enjoyed the Super Bowl, which I think is our unofficial holiday as NFL Fanatics. Thank you very much for joining us tonight, Noel. Thank you. And we will see everybody during the week.
Thanks a lot.